traditionally it's always been a small backyard local market crop, and there were issues with it. So this planting in here is the final advanced selections out of hybridising work our senior technician Mark Trainer has done. So we've selected out of about 300 to 400 seedlings, the best 10 or so, which have since been grafted onto a rootstock, and we're now doing the final assessment to the view of the best 2 or 3 of those. Hand in hand with that is commercial partners who are also evaluating those in Darwin and Katherine. This material currently that you're looking at here is a mix of Panama types with the purple traditional edulous types to get that aroma and flavour of the edulous, which traditionally will not grow very well in hot monsoonal climates like here. With the Panama as another parent, which does grow quite well in the monsoonal tropics, we've been able to select some lines with good purple characteristics.
I've just tried some of your passion fruit. Tell me the main differences that a consumer will eventually experience when they bite into one of your passion fruit.
Well, I think inherently we've striven for traditional passion fruit flavour and aromas. All our selection work is based around what the Australian passion fruit industry considers as key attributes to a quality product. But we have found with the crosses that Mark's done and selecting that they do have quite high sugar levels. So there may be that part of these particular selections that could come out with consumers and tastes.
And you're anticipating that with these new 3 varieties that the season for passion fruit may be extended outside of the normal season?
What we identified quite early on is that there was definite low supply periods in the Australian domestic market. So what we've done is developed an agronomic system and germplasm that can put product in those discrete market windows. So a lot of the effort has been for that sort of August, September, October into November market window. What we're doing now is running these for a whole year, monitoring flowering periods and fruiting times. So whether we have the capacity to produce a product throughout the whole year, given that we do have quite an intense monsoonal period, we're not sure just yet, but certainly, you know, within the next 18 months, 2 years, we should quantify when production peaks are and when they aren't.
And you're working with 5 commercial farms in the trial. How long do you anticipate that trial going ahead until it reaches commercial reality?
Well, I think the cooperators we're working with have certainly had a good look at these advanced selections and have identified ones they are quite keen on, along with the work that Mark has done here at Berrima. So I think we're in a position for next season, certainly 2 to 3 of the better lines that those commercial players could be looking at propagating up and getting out next year. And they're fairly quick crop, so certainly cropping them in that year of planting. I think, you know, in terms of commercial context, certainly next year they should be in a position to plant reasonable numbers of these.
And a unique factor of these new strains of passion fruit is that they aren't susceptible to the woody virus, is that correct?
Yes. Woodiness virus is a devastating disease throughout the world in terms of passion fruit production. Through the life of trials that we've done, we've identified that certainly currently most of our, or all of our germplasm is woodiness free, and we've had that verified. So that gives some advantage in terms of vine longevity, production levels, but it also may give us some advantage in terms of maintaining germplasm that is woodiness virus free. So for the territory at this stage, to maintain that woodiness virus free of the germplasm, it's quite a critical thing, yeah.
Would that factor mean that there might be increased interest from export markets for this type of passion fruit?
Well, I'm not so sure in terms of the woodiness side of things, and that would all depend on particular market access requirements, depending what countries you're looking at. I think for us the driving thing was there was always that market window in that August, September, October period. So that's principally what we're focused on.
What is the value of the territory passion fruit industry at the moment, and do you see that increasing with these new strains?
Well, at the moment, it'd be less than $200,000. We have a few quite experienced long-term growers, particularly Panama Red, supplying into the local markets. A quick analysis of wholesale markets, the potential there in terms of putting sufficient volume in that doesn't impact on prices, potentially 2 to 3 million. I think in terms of yield levels, say for example on a per hectare basis, where, and it's quite early, we haven't collated this year's yield data off these advanced selections, but certainly for a Panama Red we know around about 10 to 12 tonne per hectare of product has been achievable. So with these newer lines in the commercial context, I mean it's quite hard to say, but we would only be suggesting to industry the best 2 or 3 lines once we've accounted for yield.
And what feedback are you getting from passion fruit growers around the top end? Are they excited at the prospect of these new varieties?
Certainly at this point in time they're quite enthused, and the number have sort of indicated a commitment to the crop. But you know, it's a hard game farming this day and age, and until there's significant volumes going through the supply chain into the marketplace, there's always some risk involved. But I think the foundation of any production, long-term production in the region, is to have good adapted germplasm, agronomy systems that have been well developed in that environment, and an enthusiasm by industry to give it a crack.